patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
It is a Monday morning mailbag kind of day on a Tuesday afternoon. Good evening. Let's just start over. I don't know why I said good evening there. We're not going to start over. I know Adam's not going to start this over, and we're just flailing in the wind right now. Hello. How about that?
Some people are going to watch this evening, Scott.
Yeah, some people, which would really fit into
Monday
this perfectly.
Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm we'll Scott start Belford. Everyone good evening.
Joined by the best co-host in the business, Adam Mack. This is The Walk-Off. Thank you so much to all the interaction over the week. We've been steadily getting an increase in that throughout the months, throughout the years. So appreciate it. At Walk-Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk-Off Podcast on Instagram. You can just DM us. You can also join the Discord. Shoot us a DM for a link there. I know that we've actually got, I think his name is Seba, and he would like a link out of Sweden, Adam.
Hey,
we've got he was an Expos fan, but then he switched to Jays when the Expos left, and now he wants a link to the Discord. So,
well, fun fact, Swedish is my favorite flavor of fish. So there you go.
Truth. This is, I don't know much about you, but I knew that.
Alrighty.
And if you are a member of the Patreon, of course, we are truly thankful. And you do get bumped to the top of the priority list if you do have a question or a comment. We try to get to all the Patreon every week if we can. All right, let's do this. And also, you can tease the trivia night coming up here. Is that what you were about to do?
No, not at all, but that's a good okay. idea. Trivia night tonight. So Moneyball and basketball trivia night tonight
for all of our Patreon.
For all of our Patreon, there will be a link sent out in your DM. So keep an eye on that. I'll also make a post as well. It'll be an invite to the Zoom room. Don't worry. You don't have to turn your camera on. You can be a pig. It's fine. But it's a lot better if we can interact and I can throw some banter out there.
Find a clean wall behind you and turn the camera on.
Find a clean wall from the elbows up and you're all good to go.
You know, Adam, there are days where I feel like we really nail the intro, you know, where it's just full steam ahead right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And guns a-blazing. I think we nailed it today. I think that is
arguably yeah. Perfection. We really weeded out the riffraff. Only the diehards
right
are
off
still
the top.
Here. This is great.
I call for a redo. What? And you're like, we're not doing that.
Why can't we get a sponsor for the mailbag? I wonder. I wonder. All right. So this one comes from Twitter. At Jimmy Legs, great name, DM'd us and said, holy cow, gents. Ben Nicholson-Smith just announced that Nathan Lucas made the team. I thought Otto Lopez was the guy. What do you think about this? And before we get into this, I just want to read the whole topic because related comment from Discord, and I got so many on Instagram and TikTok. So the other day, my bold prediction was Chris Beck, 30 to 40 games in the MLB this year?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as soon as that left my lips, the Blue Jays DFA'd the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting blamed for this. Full jinx mode.
To balance this out, Adam is going to call Rob Manfred the commissioner of the year this year for sure.
Wouldn't that be something? All right. So this one from Discord really sums up the sentiment from the broader walk-off community here. So at Adam Mack, tag me in it. You haven't been too lucky with some of your predictions on the pod over the years, but buddy, haha, bold predictions. Chris Beck gets 30-40 games at the MLB level. I love his interviews, but I'm listening to yesterday's podcast now and he literally got DFA'd as that was coming out or shortly after or whatever. Reminiscent of something with Taylor Sesedo last year as well.
Yes.
So, okay. So Blue Jays 26 man roster finalized. Nathan Lucas is the last spot. Chris Beck no longer with the Jays. I'm surprised by Chris Beck, also not totally surprised.
So it is a little bit of a bummer because he's a really good dude and he had nothing but time to give for us, which is just truly appreciated. We know how busy these minor league guys are. We know the schedule they keep, and to fit in a little rinky dink podcast with a couple of boneheads like us, it really is appreciated. He is 27 years old. He'd been in the system for almost 8 years now and made his way all.
Admits himself not the best with a bat.
Yes.
Defensive catcher.
Has never really hit anywhere along the way, but has been so good defensively and has such a good relationship with his pitchers that he has continued to get the raise up. And it's been interesting to look at his batting average because it pretty much stays the same. It doesn't matter where Chris is, he's hitting about 220. So that's probably what is holding him back right now from a major league position with the Blue Jays, especially. I mean, they brought in Rob Brantley, who is just a little bit more experienced and just has a little bit more of a proven bat. So I think that when you look at the catching depth within the Blue Jays, friend of the show, Zach Britton, has been pushing heavily over the spring here. He's had a really good spring training. Now they've been putting him in the outfield, but he has looked a little out of his element. And I really do think that one of the things that they're trying to do is create a little bit more room for the catchers within the system. And unfortunately, Chris Beck, just the odd man out. But we wish him all the best. I hope he catches on somewhere. And I like to think that you just didn't specify in your prediction, Adam, that it would be 30 to 40 games with the Blue Jays. I hope that your prediction still comes true.
There you go. That is still a possibility. Oakland needs somebody, right? Let's talk to Nathan Lukes, though.
Yes. So to start with, and we both know this and we both have messed it up either way, but his name is pronounced Nathan Lucas, even though it is spelled Lukes.
I'm going to continue to go with Lukes. Nothing better than messing up a nice Western last name.
A nice Western
to get me
name,
off
really.
The hook for botching the international names. And then it's, I just mess up everyone's name. So Nathan Lukes, throwing you under the bus.
All right. So Nathan Lucas, he is going to be more or less the fourth outfielder for now. We'll see what happens. I know everyone's up in arms. What are we going to do about Otto Lopez? It looked like he was going to make the team. He's so versatile. Lucas had a hell of a spring. He can play right. He can play left. And he can play center field all well. Okay, he's good defensively. He's got a big arm. His bat really came to play in the spring. And I think they're going to give him an opportunity to see what he can do. He's also a little bit older. He's 28 years old. And with this Blue Jays team currently in championship mode, any little bit of added experience, any little bit of extra edge, painting the corners, as you so beautifully put it yesterday, right? Like, it's the little details that matter. And I think just that little bit of extra experience. And dude, like Otto Lopez, he's going to be on this team at some point. Like, he's the next guy up. He plays shortstop, he plays second, he plays third, he could play a little left field. Like, Lopez is going to get his opportunity, and I think right now it just makes sense to go with the guy who has the best glove in the outfield, and that is Nathan Lucas.
Yeah, for me, I think it just comes down to the fact that, and we kind of teased the Yankees the other day for having 8 infielders, 1 outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's where I kind of feel like this.
The defensive prowess there, right?
Well, yeah. And we have George Springer. We have Dalton Varsho. We have Kevin Kiermaier. And then other than that, it's just utility guys who can play the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it was a little unbalanced that way. Blue Jays end up going with Vladdy, Belt, Espinal, Bichette, Chapman in the infield, Springer, Varsho, Kiermaier, and Lucas in the outfield, and then Merrifield and Biggio as the utility guys. I don't know. Espinal, probably like a utility guy as well. Can play outfield if need be. Yeah. Otto, you know, Lopez really, slots in similarly.
You know what this, really stands out to me about this, Adam? And really, this just seems to be a little bit of a shift in the way the organization views priorities here. But if you look last year when George Springer was injured, who's playing center field for this team? Raimel Tapia. And when it wasn't Raimel Tapia, it was Whit Merrifield, who was acquired at the trade deadline. The depth in center field hurt this team substantially last year. Now, if you look at what they've got in center field right now, in order of the pecking order in center field, it's Kevin Kiermaier, Dalton Varsho, George Springer, Nathan Lucas, Whit Merrifield. That is a deep pool of dudes who can play center field to an average level or above. And that was something they just did not have last year at all.
Do we need five center fielders? Is this overcompensation?
It's like the super rich guy who gets, you hear his story and he was like, he was so poor growing up and then it's never enough, right? He's like, I need more. Is that the Blue Jays with center fielders?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of, I mean, I'm surprised by it, but also, I hope we don't see much of Nathan Lucas.
I don't think we will. I think it would be, I shouldn't say that. I think Nathan Lucas is going to get his at-bats. I think he is going to be in the lineup from time to time, but no, he's definitely
we'll play this piece. Clip of me saying that in the intro to our interview with him coming up next month.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I guess one thing that kind of surprised me, though, is it's another left-handed outfield bat.
It is, but so would have Lopez been. I think of the options they had, they were mostly, like, the most viable options were all lefty bats, and they were just like, okay, well, if we're not going to go outside the organization, and who knows, dude, the truth is there are a pile of dudes who have been put on waivers and released or even had minor league invites to spring training where they had options to come out of it.
Correction. According to Baseball Reference, Otto Lopez is a right-handed bat.
Oh, is he? Okay, never mind.
I can't picture him in the batter's box in this moment to verify that with my own recollection, but
well, no, I trust the Baseball Reference. Okay. Well, then I stand corrected. Thank you for double checking that.
You know. All right. Anything else to add on the Nathan Lucas?
Let's end on this.
Congratulations.
Let's end on this. Congratulations to Nathan Lucas. This is fantastic for him, making his major league debut at 28 years old. Very exciting for the guy. For anyone who is being emotionally affected in any way by this decision, just know that this is going to change numerous times throughout the season who the bench piece on and the bat off the bench is going to be. It's great for Nathan Lucas, but if you were hoping it was Otto Lopez, it will be. Just give it time. I think that we'll see many dudes throughout the 2023 season in that role.
Just not Chris Beck.
Just not Chris Beck.
All right. Next one, let's talk Chris Bassett for a second.
Okay.
So in our Discord, Bringer of Wayne.
Great name, by the way. Love Bringer of Wayne.
Great. So Bassett had a rough start the other day. 4 runs over 2 3⅔. Sums it up. Soft contact guys have a meltdown game every now and again. I don't read too much into it. Also, it's spring training.
Yeah.
Also, is he our number 3?
Yeah, number I would three, say. Right? I mean, I would hope that by the end of the season, we are all like, Jose Berríos is our number 3 for sure. But right now, yes, Chris Bassett is our number 3. He's going to eat innings. I think he's almost a lock to pitch 180, 190 this season. He's going to be a dude who, yeah, from time to time gets hit. He tops out at 94, 95 miles an hour. And yesterday during spring, he was only hitting 93. You're going to get hit if you're not on the game with your velo and your location so, as a soft tossing dude.
So don't worry about Chris Bassett.
I wouldn't. I mean, he's probably, well, honestly, what I don't know where everyone is at this. I would actually love to hear everyone's opinion. So feel free to drop it in the comments. I think Chris Bassett's going to be about a 4 ERA dude. He's going to be consistent. He's going to log innings. He's not going to blow anybody away, but he's going to be a very, very serviceable starter. And that's all they need out of him.
Yeah. There with you. We did get some comments as well. I was browsing that kind of tie into this. But what if, I mean, we talked last episode about Yusei Kikuchi having rope. How much rope does Jose Berríos get? He has a big contract, so he's just...
They need to fix him.
Like, if Jose Berríos comes out and pitches to a 5.5 ERA through April and May, we're still just, as long as he's healthy, he's pitching, right?
Every
he's just
going to
go
day.
Out there every 5 days?
Every 5 days. Sorry, man. Like, I just can't see it any other way. You know, he's under contract for 6 more years.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's all in the past. I hope it's all behind him.
I agree.
All right. Exo comes in from Patreon. Wyatt always gets his
questions.
Oh,
this one you sent me. I love this one.
The great one. So Wyatt said, hey, fellas, question for Mailbag. Regarding the awesome Ohtani-Trout showdown and strikeout in the World Baseball Classic, if a pitch clock was implemented in the WBC, every single one of Ohtani's pitches would have been overtime due to them being almost 30 seconds each. This wonderful, magical baseball moment the world got would not have happened. We would have gotten some crappy automatic balk or called third strike or whatever because of the time violation. So Wyatt's question is, do you think the pitch clock should be like the NHL's 3-on-3 overtime rule, where it is what it is in the regular season, but during playoffs, it's out?
I love this question. And I know when you sent it to me yesterday, I sent you a tweet that I put out about a week ago. And I basically was like, I want no pitch clock come the playoffs. Thoughts? And we had a ton of interaction there, Adam. Like, people were very, very passionate one way or the other. I think without a doubt, it did skew that, yes, there should be no pitch clock in the playoffs. However, there was a lot of people, too, that were just like, no, the rules shouldn't change come the playoffs. Like, it should be one rule for the whole time, and it shouldn't vary. And of course, I would then say something along the lines of Gary Bettman hates this comment. You know, so does Rob Manfred with his Manfred Man on second in the, which is something that they're doing again this season, right? In extra innings, they're going to have that guy, the ghost runner on second base, but not in the playoffs. So there's already a precedent set for changing the rules come the playoffs. Honestly, Lewis, good friend of the show, right? Lewis Foster, out of Australia, now living in Toronto, moving up the Ontario baseball ranks, by the way. So a big congrats to him as he continues to, full on get scouted by colleges at this point. So we're rooting for him. But Lewis chimed in and he said, what about just increasing the pitch clock? 20 seconds when nobody's on base in the playoffs and 25 when someone's on base. So I don't know. I don't know. Personally, the example that Wyatt brought up, that Ohtani Trout moment, I can't imagine speeding that up. I can't imagine. I don't know. And I like the pitch clock. Here's the thing. I want faster games in June. But I could give a shit how fast the games are in October. I want playoff baseball and I want 4-hour games. Because they're going to be full of action and full of intrigue and full of all the beautiful things baseball brings in a meaningful game.
I mean, the shootout is a good comparison too, right? Like in the NHL. Love the shootout. Great highlights from time to time. They still do a shootout in the NHL? Honestly, I haven't watched an NHL game that went to a shootout in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That comes from a Habs fan. Yes. Montreal Canadiens fan. They do still do shootouts.
Hey, when we get Connor Bedard in the draft, I'll be tuning in again. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe fair weather, but it's been raining for a while. Okay.
Yes, that's right. Well, as a Flames fan, I'm really throwing a lot of rocks in my glass house right now. So
fair enough. Totally off my train of thought. But yeah, I mean, nothing better than a nice 6 overtime game in June, right? Like,
yeah,
you're up till 2 in the morning watching these 1-1 tie games in the playoffs. It's great entertainment, but you don't want that all season long. Yeah, and I don't have a problem with having different rules for playoffs at all.
What do you folks think right now as you listen to this? Feel free to drop a comment below here. Maybe we can come back to this next mailbag, because I really do get a feeling that there is going to be a wide range of reactions and maybe even solutions to this problem. Because in my opinion, speeding up that at bat between Ohtani and Trout is a mistake, and it just takes out the heart that is meaningful baseball. But maybe I also want to just state, I know Ohtani wouldn't have wound up getting called on a balk and all that shit. He would have just played by the rules, right? Like, and obviously they will be ready come the playoffs and be used to the pitch clock and all that. So maybe it won't even be that big of a deal, and the intrigue and the moment building will happen naturally anyways.
I mean, this is the old school baseball fan in me, but I mean, that is part of the beauty of baseball, is that there is no clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess that's why people have been pushing back against the pitch clock in general, right? Is it, it does kind of taint one of the things that was awesome about the game, that and the fact that the playing surface is different everywhere you go, right? Like a real home field advantage. I don't know. I'm not anti-pitch clock. I think it's good. I also don't.
Yeah,
think
me too. But I also don't wish to lose that moment, right?
No, I don't want to miss that moment. Playoff baseball is some of the best entertainment in sports. I do think that part of it is that edge of your seat suspense, where you're like, you're waiting.
What's
that anticipation, right?
The anticipation builds as it's a 3-2 count, and you're like, what's he going to throw? And Trout's dug in, and you know, like, it's just like, there's so many little nuggets of intrigue there that you would just lose if you're speeding it up twice as fast. Like that was, and I really appreciate Wyatt doing the math on that, because I didn't know that it was well over 30 seconds each pitch, which is, think about it, double the time that the pitch clock allows. Didn't feel short. It didn't feel long though. Like that at bat didn't feel long. Anyways.
Anything else to add?
No.
Okay.
We solved nothing there.
We solved nothing.
Very intriguing, Wyatt. Thank you for the comment.
All right. Next one comes in from Patreon as well. A quick one here. Michael Meyer last week said, would be awesome to have the audio on Patreon as well. So what we've been doing is we record the whole episode. It goes live on Patreon. That's the first thing that gets published every morning. Of course, it includes the 20 minutes of BSing. You and I shared some weird stories about movie choices and memories from our childhood this morning. Shenanigans happens, but that goes up right away. But it only has been going up in video format. And I didn't realize that on Patreon, if you're watching it on your phone, if you close your phone or whatever, lock it up, you can't still listen to the audio. I just assumed you still could. It's been pointed out that that's not the case. So we are doing two posts every morning now. I put up the video and the audio as two separate posts. So choose whichever one suits your preferences and your lifestyle better. But there you go. More flexibility with your consumption. And we appreciate the feedback, Michael. So
absolutely. With stuff like that, where you're a listener and you're a part of this walk-off community and you have a question like, why are they not doing it this way? It might be, we just don't know. So feel free, point it out. We're just boneheads trying to get through, honestly.
Great example of constructive criticism.
Yes.
So, chef kiss. All right, moving on, but still from Patreon, but this is, this one comes in from Rashid. Says, how about doing an over and under section for this week's mailbag for the season with some bold predictions and some wacky ones too. It's going to be fun. So I responded to Rashid and I said, a little bit too short a notice. I got this message last night. I do think this is a fun idea for us to do this week. I know we've done some fun ones in the past, like Jordan Romano saves versus Vladdy Jr. home runs. That was kind of a fun one to kind of go back and forth on all year. I think Romano ended up winning that, right?
Yes, he did. 37-32.
So there you go. We are going to take some time and think about it, though. And maybe Thursday's episode, we'll come up with a few. So
I like that idea. Thursday, we'll do an over-under for the start of the season.
You could let us know in the comments too if you have any fun ones.
Yes.
We'll pick a couple of them to go with. But one that came to my mind when I was reading this was, what's his first name there in New York? Is it Anthony Volpe? Volpe? Yes.
Yeah.
Anthony Volpe. I'm overpronouncing it now, Scott. I've got Lucas on the brain.
Yeah.
Errors versus Bo Bichette errors.
Ooh, I like what that. You got?
So fun comparisons
into,
like that.
I'd right? be into even, let's throw Gunnar Henderson in that too.
Sure.
<All right. laughs> See where all these young shortstops. Race. Yeah. The error race.
Error race. It's like golf though. Low score wins.
Yes.
Then we got related topic. So Will Pulfer on YouTube commented, we had a topic about Ben Joyce
and yes.
the success that he's having. So Will Pulfer commented that every one of the Blue Jays players selected before Ben Joyce appear in the Blue Jays top 13 prospects on yes. MLB pipeline.
Great.
Point. Which I hate. I hate as a point, Scott, because first of all, 13 is an arbitrary place to draw that line other than it allows you to include the other guy, right? 10 is a much more of a milestone ranking. So my second gripe with it is, and I've been over this dozens of times, is that all these prospect rankings, everybody gets inflated the year they were drafted, right? So I'm looking at the Ben Joyce was drafted 89th overall. So we're looking at Cade Doughty, second baseman, drafted 78th. Tucker Thoman, shortstop, yeah. drafted 77th. Josh Kasevich, shortstop, drafted 60th. And Brandon Barriera, drafted 23rd. All inside the Blue Jays top 13. Sure, that means nothing to me. Here's my over-under that I want to stick to. This one might take a long while to see the fruits of.
Okay.
Ben Joyce, more MLB career games than those four combined.
This is the long game you're playing here.
This is the long game. The only one that scares me is Brandon Barriera.
Yes. Well, I know that Chris Beck can tell everyone what your support means to him.
I'm reverse jinxing the Blue Jays is what I'm doing. Barriera, Hall of Fame career. Yeah,
that's right. This time you're working your magic for the Blue Jays. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's a crapshoot, Scott.
I like it.
All right. Let us know some other fun over-unders to compare for the 2023 season, and we'll get to them Thursday. Thursday, opening day, by the way. And then Friday's a day off. So I hate that.
Isn't that annoying?
It's so dumb. Make it a four-game series. Like,
yeah.
Or just let's start it on the the Friday. It's just, yeah, I hate started, everything about
yeah, it. Like, what are we doing? I felt the same way. I'm like, what?
It's so dumb. I'm sure there's some TV deal complications around that, but I hate everything about opening day, then a day off, then the other two games in the series. It's the stupidest.
Yeah, yeah, it's so weird.
All right. Let's pivot from there. Then we got some fun ones to end on, not too baseball related, but stick around if you are sticking around. So you were in Halifax over the weekend.
Yes, sir.
Scott Carter says your sister stole the show. Just kidding. You both were great. So.
Yeah. So a little about me. My little sister is also a stand-up comedian. She is. I would say more successful, at least according to the industry, than I am. She is played very heavily on Sirius XM. She's was at Just for Laughs representing Halifax last summer. She just laid down her album, The Entire Cabbage, which you can check out wherever you listen to your comedy albums, I guess.
There you go. Right on. Yeah. All right. Some love for Claire Belford. There you go.
And also, Scott, thank you for coming to the show. I know a tip of the hat to the dozen or so of you walk-off community members that came out to Yuck Yucks Halifax over the weekend. I do appreciate it.
Next time I open for you, Scott, that's how I'm bringing you up on stage. And also, Scott, thanks for coming to the show.
Perfect.
All right. All right. Next one, Mantis Toboggan, MD.
Doctor. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Says, wow, Google imaging Scott Belford was one of the best decisions I've made this week. So thanks, Adam, for that. Great show, boys. And for goodness sake, Billy, hit the like button, which is, of course, just a great reminder. Billy, hit the like button. Get your brother to hit that like button.
Yeah,
it really helps more than you know. Helps us avoid the stupid clickbait so that we're able to just focus on the real priorities, like Old Dutch potato chips. And the fine art of movie selection. Okay, anyways, Mantis Toboggan also adds, do either of you have shows in the GTA coming up? Love to see you live. Good luck out east. So Scott, let's plug the live shows in June.
That is right. Now, we don't have ticket links up or anything like that yet. We are still kind of working out the details, but it does look like we're going to be doing some live podcasts from Left Field Brewing, our new sponsor for our Monday show, partnering with Left Field to bring you some live podcasts June 23rd and June 24th. So that's the Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to do a live podcast on the Friday as well. And we're looking for a venue probably close to the stadium, because the dream is that after the podcast, we all just go to the game together and watch the Blue Jays kick the butt of the Oakland Athletics. That's going to be the team in town. So hopefully we can see some wins. Thursday's the off day, by the way. And so we're fingers crossed, hoping that maybe we can get a big fancy guest for y'all. Well, nothing locked in yet, but that's the dream.
I was really hoping that maybe Chris Beck could have made his MLB debut around that point. And
yes,
could have come out to, join us, but
big time pressure on Hagen Danner now to make the team.
Yeah, again, I need some redemption here, buddy.
And then on the Sunday, June 25, I think it is, we're going to do a live long toss after that Sunday afternoon game. So again, we'll let you know as we get into April. We'll put up the ticket links and do all those sort of thing. But yeah, we are coming to Toronto. We're very excited to bring the walk off on the road and do some live podcasts and catch some Toronto Blue Jays games. So keep your ears open for that.
There you go. Okay. We'll end on this then and we'll get out of here. Last week we talked about snack selection for movie night. We got on a whole beef jerky tirade. But Darth Yen commented and said, as for Old Dutch, got to be sea salt and malt vinegar, enough vinegar to turn your lips pink. Darth Yen always criticizes our videos almost entirely on the words that come out of my mouth. So yeah, sure enough, they said, other than that, Adam and I differ on almost everything except for the cheesy fingers. Hate that. and go through way too many face cloths while eating Doritos and Cheezies. So I had mentioned that I have trainer chopsticks that I use for my snacks. Mm-hmm. So just to show everybody, these are the chopsticks. They're little shark guys.
Right. So
they work great. I also have, when they're in the wash, the dishwasher, I have a little T-Rex chopsticks as well. And my daughter was mad at me for stealing all the chopsticks. So I got her a set of her own. This is the unicorn. So they work great. Grab your snacks. Keep your fingers clean. Great for your late night gaming.
You call that one, you call that one Shohei.
Shohei, the unicorn. Exactly. Shohei, the, I'm just going to leave that there. We're really in a gray area of danger here, Scott, calling our chopsticks Shohei. That is a unicorn reference and nothing
else. It's a unicorn reference, everybody. Oh, luckily, go. This is at the end of the video. And with this strong, we finish like we started, Adam.
As strong as it gets.
As strong as it gets. Very
full nine innings we gave.
The full nine innings. We are in the game, taking care of it all. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. Join the Discord. Just shoot us a DM to our Swedish Blue Jays friend. I will be sending you a link to that shortly. Patreon, big tip of the hat to everyone in Patreon. We really do appreciate the support. A dollar a week goes a long way to helping the show out. And it also gives you access to everything in advance, right out of the gate. You don't need to wait around. And on top of it, trivia night tonight. So you get to take place in that community building exercise.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Dad.
Scott. Bye, Dad. Yeah. Bye, Scott's dad, too.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.